Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel, presented by Mainstay Financial and Anna Lee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Anna Lee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Anna Lee. Anna Lee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Anna Lee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com. Or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Anna Lee.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. Yes, we want to make sure you're winning today, and Bob Burgi is here to help you out with that. If you have a question, 850-437-1620. The lines are open. We're ready for you. How you doing, Bob?
I am well. How are you?
I'm happy. I'm always happy for the most part, unless I'm not. So,
well, you are always happy. I've never seen you when you're not.
No, generally there's a lot to be thankful for, and counting our lucky stars that Saturday wasn't worse with the storm, but it got me thinking.
Right.
After something actually Mike Wiggins just brought up when we were hanging out during commercials, we were talking about the rain, and I was asking him, should I bring this one inside? Is this one okay outside? You know, just with plants. And then he said, man, you know, look at what happened up in Bruton. We tend to forget our friends in Bruton, but there was a story.
Wait, Bruton or Bruton?
I don't know how you guys say it, but just from...
How about,
being up north,
how about, do you say Milton or
no,
Milton?
I say Milton.
All right. All right. As long as everybody knows what you're talking about. Okay. Bruton, Alabama.
Bruton, Alabama. Right. And they were hit pretty hard. There's a lot. Yes. There's a ton of destruction. We've heard the news updates. And one of the things that we saw on WEAR was the story about a gentleman who has a home, a trailer home specifically. Mm-hmm. And it was really sad to watch. It broke my heart. He didn't have insurance on the home. And I started to think, you know, we're talking a lot about storm prep.
Right.
This is the season. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, now is the time. Get your generator. Make sure you have gas. Have all of your packages ready.
Right.
But what about saving up for storm season? Do people talk about that?
Yeah. I mean, I think we forget about, you know, how things work when a storm hits. And do you remember all of the terminals being down, and really a lot of these outfits operating on cash only, you know? I forget about that. You know, there's so many things that I am reminded of when you see something swirling around in the Gulf. It kind of brings back all of these memories of what we didn't have, or how we weren't prepared. And I feel like we were very well prepared. But, you know, it's not just having the cash. It's not, you know, making sure you have balances available on your credit cards. It's, you know, prepping your home. You know, if you have, I've seen people go as far as to make reservations out of town almost on a weekly basis, and then canceling them in case, you know, nothing shows up, right? But they'll just do a revolving door of reservations, like somewhere in Montgomery or Birmingham, to be able to get out of town, and of course cancel them, you know, as nothing shows up in the Gulf, right? But anyway, yeah, preparation, you know, that's key, especially when we have something out there. How did you do in the storm?
We were fine, thankfully. Storms helped me sleep really well for some reason.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a white noise in the background with a couple of the, oh no, I forgot to put that pot off of the shelf. And so I heard it hit the ground. I was a little upset with myself, but for the most part did really well. But you know, the way that I can assume anyone who is listening also can relate to this. My brain is always learning and mm-hmm. always is like, okay, that just happened. Now I know for the next time we should be doing this. Yes. So now you start to think about with Sally, we learned a lot from that.
Right.
And preparation, like when is a good time to leave? When is a good time to stay? What should we bring inside? Should we not call it, you know, quits and walk away from the house? But with the whole saving up for hurricane season, we just don't put enough emphasis on that. Like, hey, we just had a lot happen with Sally.
Right.
There's still people recovering from Sally.
Right.
It's going to take a minute. There's been a lot of changes in legislations mm-hmm. when it comes to insurance. So, yes. And nobody is talking about that either.
Right.
And how we really need to prepare ourselves for the time in between insurance comes in and writes you that check or fixes things.
Right. And it's not just getting the check. It's lining up the contractor to perform the work. Try finding a roofer, you know, after a hurricane. It's very difficult. You know,
very difficult. Yeah. So, you know, do you have any guidance for even like first time homeowners or we have a lot of older listeners too, that they tend to like to stay and hunker down right. when it comes to a storm.
Right.
So for guidance with like saving up, is there, I mean, I don't want to call it a magic number, mm-hmm. but a ballpark number that should be set aside for something
yeah.
like that.
Ballpark number, you know, for a family of five may differ from somebody, you know, that is single. You know, I think only that person knows what that magic number is. I hate to encourage anybody to keep, you know, cash balances at home, but you got to keep some, you know, especially during hurricane season, because, you know, at times we operate on that, on cash. So I think having an account that is perhaps labeled, or maybe you keep a larger balance in your savings account during hurricane season, I think that's prudent. Okay, have some cash at home, certainly. And I think we all do that, you know, just for emergencies. You know, first and foremost, insuring your property is very important. And of course, if you have a mortgage or if you have any money owed on it, they're going to require it. And they're going to require proof of insurance. So that will take care of itself. But if you own it outright, you don't have to carry insurance, but it's always a good idea, you know, to have that insurance. Another way to fund emergencies is possibly having a home equity line of credit through your bank or credit union. And that is a, you know, a line of credit differs from a loan. A loan is, you know, you get the money and you put it somewhere or apply it immediately. A line of credit is very flexible, and we call it a HELOC, a home equity line of credit. And it is a reservoir of cash that you can tap into if you need it for any reason. I mean, to purchase anything. But certainly during an emergency, it comes in handy. And the delay, remember for our listeners, you know, the supply and demand during a hurricane, you know, the demand for roofers after a hurricane goes through the ceiling, but the supply, for the most part, at least immediately after, remains the same, you know, until the folks come into town and start setting up shop and doing roofs. But, you know, and there are other things, of course, right, Jenna? I mean, just the tree guys, you know, the folks that move into town and you know, start, you know, you hear chainsaws. You know, the sweet sound of chainsaws after a hurricane, right?
It's like the soundtrack of the storm. Is you go from the wind and the, you know, and then like all of a sudden you hear chainsaws, and that just becomes normal for a couple of weeks. And then, of course, you have to watch your back for scammers as well. You don't.
Right. Right. Good point.
You don't
Lots
want to
of
keep
scammers.
Your head on a swivel, people, because that's when they kind of tend to come out. Like you turn on the light and you see the cockroaches. You're like, wait a second. You don't look like this is legitimate.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, you know, these guys in the commercial that show up in a you know, a collared shirt, you know, with their company name on the side. That's typically not who you get right after the hurricane, right?
Not even a little bit. There's no clipboard. It usually looks like somebody painted on their phone number on the side of
pulling
a truck.
Pulling up in a shiny mini, in a shiny van, you know, with their company name. No.
They had crossed out free candy.
Yeah. You get what you can, you know, after a hurricane. So, again, the demand spikes and the supply pretty much remains the same for these contractors until the folks move into town to take care of us. But anyway, so yeah, preparation is important during a storm, and maybe this last one was just a little reminder of that, right?
Exactly. Nothing
catastrophic.
No, and it's always better to be prepared than not. And if you have a question, maybe it doesn't have to be exactly on being prepared financially for a storm, but anything else, whether it's your retirement or switching over accounts, 850-437-1620. I feel like every day there's something in financial news.
So, one of the things we want to cover today is I quickly went over a list of the ages, and these are what are known as the milestone ages. And I did this, a couple of months ago, and one of my clients, who is also a listener, pointed out that they really enjoyed that, but they didn't get everything, okay? So I wanted to go over that again because it is interesting, these milestone ages, and they have a lot of meaning as we age. Maybe not you, Jenna, but for people my age, the age milestones are very important, the financial age milestones. So if you are listening, there are a number of ages, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 8 ages that are what are known as milestone ages in investment, retirement planning. And if you have a pen or pencil handy on the left side of the page, you know, write the numbers 50, 55, 59 and a half, 62, 65, 67, 70, and 72. Okay.
Is this like bingo? I'm trying.
No. And I'll go over each, so you'll have another opportunity to, you know, and a lot of people know these ages, but very important as we get older. Okay, age 50. Jenna, you're looking at me, deer in the headlights. You know I'm going to ask you. Age 50. I'm gonna handle this one. Okay, age 50, age milestone. That is when you can contribute what is known as a catch-up contribution to your Roth IRA, to your traditional IRA, or to your employer's qualified plan, say a 401k. So the catch-up contributions occur at what age, Jenna?
50.
50, 50, okay? So at age 50, there's a catch-up contribution, and it depends on the plan that you are looking to contribute to. And for example, Roth IRA, traditional IRA, it's $1,000. Hey, every little bit helps, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And as recently as 20 years ago, the maximum contribution to either was $2,000. So that $1,000, you know, that $1,000 is meaningful. So of course, before age 50, it's $6,000. Right. Okay. Now, it's gone up, but an extra $1,000 helps, okay? So if you're over age 50, there's a catch-up contribution in the amount of $1,000. For qualified plans, it's more, and you can contribute up to $26,000 in 2021 to your 401k, 403b, your employer's qualified plan. And the catch-up contribution is actually $6,500. So it's $19,500 for under age 50. Over age 50, it's $26,000. Meaningful, very meaningful money. Go ahead.
Yes, actually, I mean, at first you think, that's not a lot. Well, that's not going to get me anywhere. And then when you start doing the math and you see how it adds up,
sure,
it does help you.
Sure. And it's a catch-up contribution. It's for those that that maybe use the money and didn't contribute as much to their employer's qualified plan or their traditional IRA or Roth IRA prior to age 50. So age 50, an important age milestone. The next one is 55. This one is probably the most complex, and I'll kind of breeze over it. It's it's what is known as an early distribution from your employer's qualified plan, or in some instances, your IRA. If you leave your job, okay, and you are not 59 and a half, okay, that's the next number we're going to talk about, but 59 and a half is your earliest age that you can take distributions from your qualified plan. All right. Now, if you leave your employer, okay, at age 55, you can take distributions without paying the 10% penalty. Okay. There's a rule out there called Rule 72T. I will not go into it, but sometimes, Jenna, we have folks come in and they're leaving their job for one reason or another, and it can be for really any reason, but they're worried about having income until age 59 and a half. So there is this provision that you can take distributions at age 55 up until age 59 and a half. However, these distributions, they used to call them substantially equal distributions. They used to call them substantially equal distributions. They're now called SEPPs, and those are substantially equal periodic payments. Same thing, but there's a calculation. You can use one of three methods, but you have to take it every year. You can't take it this year and say, I don't need it. Now, let me tell you something. That's very dangerous, to go ahead and start taking money to replace your income at age 55, okay? Because guess what? You can't put that money back in there, okay?
Oh, no.
Once you pull it out, all that, you know, it's very difficult to put that money, to get that money in your account, your qualified plan. But once you pull it out, you're subject to the same rules as far as getting it back in as everyone else. So what I would advise is, first of all, don't do anything. And you have to do something before you retire. However, you know, sleep on it, think about it, take a look at your budget, because again, once you start that, you can't stop it. Now, of course, at 59 and a half, it becomes permissible and you can change things. But for those couple of years, beginning at age 55, you can't undo it. So I would recommend this. Take a look at what you need, what you're spending, what your true income needs are. Guess what usually happens when somebody retires or leaves their job at age 55 or 56? You know, they think the whole world is ending and they need to replace the income. But guess what happens? They go out and they get another job.
Yeah.
And everything is fine. You can't undo the SEPPs, the substantially equal periodic payments, but there are other things you can do, like go get another job, like what was I just talking about, the HELOC, Home Equity Line of Credit. I personally, and I would recommend to anybody, to use a home equity line of credit to get you through, you know, the period of time, whether it's a couple of months or even a year or two, until you find another job. So I think that's a better approach, possibly, than taking the substantially equal periodic payments. Go ahead, Jenna.
Or it also depends on that person's circumstance. Like 55, you know, maybe are they having, you know, knee replacement surgery? Is there something going on? Do they have an injury? Is it medical? Are they battling something? So also to think about disability as well.
Yes.
Instead of just looking at one option and draining that account,
right?
Look at other options as well. And you're saying that the HELOC is a better option than draining the account that they have. So then
it might be a better option.
Okay.
Right. It might be a better option.
If you
have a huge 401k and you want to get through a couple years and maybe you need, $20,000 a year, maybe not a bad idea. However, it's taxable income, you know, and if you have a low interest HELOC, why not do that and let the money that you would otherwise take grow tax deferred until you choose to pull it out?
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you a question. With the HELOC, do you apply through that, for that through your bank?
Yeah, your bank, your credit union. I'm sure some of these online places, you know, also have it. I haven't looked into that. You know,
sure.
If you have a good relationship with your bank or credit union, I would say that's the starting point.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But anyway, so 55, age 55 distributions from a qualified plan or your IRA, and I won't go too much into it. You can do it. It's under different rules. But again, I would be very, very cautious. Meet with your investment advisor, certainly your accountant, you know, somebody that can guide you through that. A lot of times we meet with people and they are retiring and they feel like they need to do something before their last day of work, okay? And they want to trigger it, you know, while they're still in the plan and an active participant. So, again, tread cautiously and seek some advice before you pull the trigger on that, because it's, you know, you can't undo it. So that's another milestone, age 55. Not so exciting, right? But it's something that is permissible. Jenny, you mentioned taking money out for medical expenses. There are a whole set of rules for that. If there's some sort of catastrophic illness, okay, it can't be to go to the dentist or, you know, to go get your checkup, but you can avoid the 10% penalty. And that's really what we're talking about here. Still pay the taxes, but okay, avoid the 10% penalty if there is some catastrophic medical condition.
Okay. That's a good little tip right there.
Okay, so the easy one, everybody knows this one, age 59 and a half. That is the age where it is permissible to pull money out of your IRA, your qualified plan, your 401k, your 403b, your 401a, anything that is what we call your retirement account, okay, or qualified plan assets.
Okay, 59 and a half.
59 and a half. We got that one. Right?
It is still, I mean, I'm just going to, I think maybe it's the OCD kicking in. And if you agree with me, 850-437-1620, can you just round it up? Just round it to the 60.
Right. Well, we're halfway there because the mandatory age used to be 70 and a half, and it is now, do you know?
Is it 72?
72. 72.
Why?
Yeah. Well, people are living longer.
Good for
they
them.
They don't want to take, you know, as you spend time in this business, you know, you have these people, they shove this money, you know, in their qualified plan accounts. They're like, yeah, I'm going to have a great retirement. Every single one of them is so disappointed when they hit their RMD age, okay? What used to be 70 and a half, required minimum distribution age. What used to be 70 and a half and is now 72, because they don't want to take the money out. They're getting Social Security. They have other money. They're not spending money at 72, right?
Right.
Okay. But they have to take money out of their qualified plan, their IRA, any of these accounts, because at 72, that's the age. Hey, you didn't pay taxes on it going in. And, you know, the
that's
government
true.
Wants their pound of flesh, and it's time. You the policy decision, you put that money in, you either received a tax deduction or you never paid taxes on it at all, the same thing, right?
Right.
And it grew all these years, tax deferred, but when you pull, you know, but there is a day when you are required to take that money out and use it and pay taxes, by the way.
That's
okay?
Right. Yes.
Keep the economy chugging. It's a stimulus measure, right?
No comment, but yes. And that's just it's another good reminder that we all have to like pay our dues at some point.
Right.
And it doesn't stop.
That's right.
At
well,
any certain age.
No, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. We keep paying taxes.
Yes. Right? We like you said, we got to keep that economy going. We got to keep everybody in Washington paid. Anyways, 850-437-1620. Bob Burgi is here from Mainstay Financial. If you have a question for him, a lot of people are popping in and say, good morning, I hear you. Well, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you hear us. That makes
That's
me
right,
happy that
right.
we're doing our job.
That's right. You know, yeah, so we've gone through three of the ages, age 50, milestone age 55, milestone age, and 59 and a half. Okay, we've got three of the eight completed. Now, I think after the commercial break, we will go over the other five.
Yeah. Okay?
Very important.
And if you're around any of these ages and have a question or a comment, or maybe you have a concern with your own accounts, please speak up. We're here for you. 850-437-1620. We got to take a quick break, see what's coming up in the news with Mark Jacobs.
Doing any Amazon Prime Day shopping? If so, some tips on how to do that smart. The story after Fox.
News. I'm Chris Foster. Republicans plan to filibuster and prevent debate on the Democrats for the People Act this afternoon. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
The rotten inner workings of this power grab have been thoroughly exposed to the light.
Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says former President Trump's lies about election fraud makes a federal elections bill more necessary.
It became the match that lit a wildfire of Republican voter suppression laws sweeping across the country.
Takes 60 votes to overcome a filibuster. A federal judge dismisses lawsuits against former President Trump and federal officials over force used to clear protesters from a park last June.
The bar clearing happened just before then-President Trump walked to nearby St. John's Church to take a photo holding a Bible. Judge Dabney Friedrich, a Trump appointee, did allow claims against both the D.C. Metro and the Arlington Police Departments, whose officers were involved in the clearing of the park, to proceed.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 10:31 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620, 76 and cloudy. I'm Mark Jacobs. Amazon Prime Day is continuing today. The Better Business Bureau says scammers are working overtime to con you out of your money. BBB's Communications Director Tammy Ward with some tips.
Whenever you click on an ad from social media, you want to just scroll over that ad before and not click on it, and just check to make sure that that's the actual website you're going to.
Ward also says you should use your credit card to pay instead of a debit card. So if you do fall victim to a scam, you can get the money back. The BBB has more tips to avoid scams online at betterbusinessbureau.org. A public meeting tonight to discuss improvements to Longleaf Drive near Pine Forest High School. Improvements being discussed on Longleaf from Pine Forest Road to Marcus Bayou Bridge. That meeting's at 5:30 at Longleaf Elementary. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
Showers and thunderstorms are likely today. We will warm up quickly in the afternoon, high today near 83 degrees. Overnight tonight, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies, lows near 74. From the First Morning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
76 in Pensacola, 79 in Gulf Breeze. It's 80 in Milton at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Alphabet unit Google finds itself in the EU antitrust spotlight again as regulators opened an investigation into its lucrative digital ad business to examine whether it favors its own business over rivals, advertisers, and online publishers. Google generated $147 billion in revenue from online ads last year, more than any other company in the world. A lot of people would like Jeff Bezos to get out and stay out. A couple of Change.org petitions are calling on the Amazon founder to stay in space when he blasts off on Blue Origin's first manned suborbital flight next month. The trip's expected to last about 11 minutes, but many Bezos critics wish it would go a lot longer, like indefinitely. A petition called Do Not Allow Jeff Bezos to Return to Earth has garnered 60,000 signatures. Stocks adding to yesterday's surge. The Dow Industrial's up another 81 at 33,955. The NASDAQ's up 51. The S&P 500 up 15. That's Your Money Now.
This is Meryl Streep. Over the years, I have played some characters you could call controlling, but the truth is, there's so much in life we can't control. But here's something we can: colorectal cancer. It affects men and women, and it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., which is astounding, considering it's almost entirely preventable. Here's how. Most colon cancers start as polyps, and screening helps find polyps so they can be removed before they even turn into cancer. Screening also finds this cancer early, when treatment works best. For me, screening was simple and quick. It was no big deal, except for the huge sense of relief you feel afterwards. There are several tests that you can choose from. If you're 50 or older, you should talk to your doctor. Decide which one's right for you. Take control. Do everything you can to prevent colon cancer. Screening saves lives. It could really save your life. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Jenna, you know I'm not going to be singing.
It's okay. I'll just be back here dancing. That's okay.
We need Anna Lee here, at least to sing, right?
Yes. We miss her very much so. And just want to let you know, we do have some texts coming in, Bob, okay? 850-437-1620. Listen, this one. All right. We were talking before the break. Let me find it. I'm sorry. I just clicked over and we lost it. Oh, okay. Here it is. If we die before 70 and a half, do your heirs pay taxes?
Okay.
I'm
just clarifying the question. This was a text message. Okay. So we can't. Okay. So if you die before 70 and a half is what they said. Okay.
Yes.
Now, the new age is 72. Mandatory required minimum distribution age, okay? If you die without having taken any required minimum distributions, you have what is known as a primary beneficiary designation in your qualified plan, in your IRA, in any of these what we call retirement accounts. It will go to the named beneficiary or beneficiaries in the form of an inherited IRA, okay? With one exception, if the primary beneficiary is the surviving spouse, that money can go directly into the spouse's existing IRA, traditional IRA, or Roth IRA, whatever the case. Okay, now I just want to talk about or lay the groundwork of how this works. If it goes to, let's say, well, a non-spouse beneficiary, children or other people, then it goes into what is known as an inherited or beneficiary IRA. They do not have to pay all of the taxes immediately. Nothing of the sort. Okay, your estate doesn't pay all of the taxes. Okay?
Okay.
But the beneficiary now, the owner of the the beneficiary or inherited IRA, has to take the money out within 10 years and pay the taxes. That's the rule that replaced stretch IRAs. It used to be you could leave the money to children, to grandchildren, to other beneficiaries, other non-spouse beneficiaries, with a few exceptions, okay? And you used to be able to stretch it out over their lifetime. In other words, the distributions would take place over their lifetime, and the income tax burden, of course, would be mitigated because they have a life expectancy. Everybody does. However, and with the SECURE Act, okay, with the changes in the SECURE Act, that stretch IRA is now gone. If you died before 2020, okay, and the inherited IRAs were in existence at that time, then you are able to stretch it out over the lifetime of the new owner. Okay, so the new rule is called the 10-year rule. All distributions from that inherited or beneficiary IRA must take place in 10 years, okay? So do not have the IRA beneficiary made payable, to the estate, or do not have it made payable to, don't leave that space blank because then it will go to your estate. Your estate has no life expectancy. It all is immediately taxable. As long as you have a primary beneficiary designation, it can be as many people as you want, it will be stretched to 10 years now. And I hope I've answered that question. There are a couple of exceptions.
Very thoroughly, Bob.
If it goes to a beneficiary that is under the age of 18, what we call a minor beneficiary, that 10 years does not begin until they reach the age of 18. That's going to be kind of rare. You typically leave it to your surviving spouse, then to your kids. And if you want to your grandchildren or somebody that's under age 18, that 10-year rule does not begin until they reach the age of 18.
Okay. Very good. And if you have any other questions, please feel free. Call or text 850-437-1620. We're talking about the 8 milestone ages. And Bob Burgie is here to answer your questions. But I do have a call coming in. Let me grab it real quick. It's Larry from Pensacola. Good morning, Larry. What's your question for Bob?
Yes, and good morning. And I just did turn the radio on. Be sure I'm asking the right kind of question. We're talking about savings, investments, that kind of thing.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I apologize, I just turned the radio on, but older, 74, and just got some CDs that have come, and not a lot, but some are, some are 35, 40,000, something like that have come, that are matured, and of course, the CD rate now is, 0.7, I think, that's Navy Federal. but I'm older, I don't want to get into a whole lot of risk.
Right.
What's your thought on that?
Well, first of all, my thought, without, bashing any of our good friends at the banks or credit unions, I appreciate you sharing the rate of return that it would renew at, and that's 0.7%. That's not a great rate of return. As a matter of fact, you're not even keeping up with inflation. You're not even coming close to keeping up with inflation. So you're not losing money, but you are losing purchasing power. That is a fact. 0.7%, that's 0.7 away from putting it under your bed, right?
I totally agree. That's what I told my wife. I'm not gonna put it under my pillow.
I can offer you a few suggestions or recommendations, but without knowing the entire picture, I would I'd probably be a little bit out of line by saying this is what you ought to do, Larry. I just don't know all the facts. But you can certainly command a higher rate of return than 0.7% with no risk, because I know you have a very low risk tolerance, and if there's any sort of liquidity need, if you need to be able to pull this money out at a moment's notice, and certainly with a CD you're not able to do that, but there's certainly a term of years that you want to lock your money away, and you would be able to command a higher rate of return than 0.7%, but not without sacrificing some liquidity. Does that make sense?
Yes sir. I'm not worried about liquidity as I am about risk, because I've got other things that are, they're not anything real high risk, but but I've always looked at CDs as, just a rock. I mean, because they're guaranteed.
Yes, they are. The problem is the rate of return, and that's
right.
And we talk about this a lot. You work your whole life, you make money, you save money, you pay your bills. Okay, that's the first step, and then once you've accumulated some of this money, some of this wealth, it's incumbent upon you to be a good steward of this wealth and have it command a higher rate of return for you, for others, for your family, for the folks you choose to leave it to, or the causes you believe in. It's up to you to command a higher rate of return. With no risk tolerance, you can do better than 0.7%. Now, you're not going to make 10%. As a matter of fact, you're probably not even going to make 5%. But you can make a considerably higher rate of return, because all we're competing with here is 0.7%. If you make 5 times that much, that's 3.5%. And that is within, the realm of possibility here. And well, you know, one of the things, Larry, if you want to give us a call and set up a time and share with us, you know, your set of circumstances and where you are, we could certainly give you recommendations over the phone. Okay, but you know, certainly not over the air to share with everyone.
That. No yeah. problem.
But
my main question. You go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, let me say one last thing. If you're working with an investment advisor, you know, you may want to talk to them. Certainly, bounce it off your accountant. You know, surround yourself with good people, and you know, you're going to come up with some solutions that are better. Okay.
Well, that was my main question, and you've answered it. Is that, you know, is there something out there that is not totally risk-free, I guess, but so, you know, pretty much risk-free that I can do better than 0.7? Because I don't see CDs, you know, with the way things are, they're not going to go up who knows when. I mean, you know, the interest rates, it doesn't look like they're going to go up to me.
Well, I agree with you, but they are going to go up. But, you know, this world and the streets are filled with people that have waited for interest rates to go up and decided they'll keep their money liquid so they can take advantage of that when it happens. And that's, you know, that's kind of a, I'm not going to say it's a recipe for disaster, but certainly the opportunity cost is tremendous, you know, waiting around for interest rates to go up. But Larry, do me a favor. First of all, we have another caller. We want to take this call,
right.
But give us a call. I was going
to
say, give us a call at 850-437-3127. Hillary will be happy to schedule a time for you and I to talk, even if it's over the phone, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Have a great day.
Larry, thank you for calling, and thank you for asking those questions. We appreciate y'all, and thank you for listening. We do have another call coming in right away, back to back. Are you ready, Bob? I'm just going to throw them at you.
Okay, let's go.
All right, Ann from Gulf Breeze. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. Hi. My question is, you were talking earlier about distribution, available distribution for IRAs at 59.5 and mandatory at 72.
Yes, ma'am.
What if you have a Roth and a traditional? Is there a specific strategy as to which one you should start pulling from first?
And that's a great question. That is a great question, okay? And it gives me the opportunity to talk about my favorite account, a Roth IRA. Okay, the interesting thing about a Roth IRA is if you are the original owner, okay, and this is not a Roth that you've inherited, correct?
Correct.
This is a Roth that you have made contributions to, okay? You
correct.
Do not have to take the money out of your Roth IRA ever. You don't.
Wow.
Your beneficiaries will, okay? But there is no RMD. RMD is required minimum distribution from your Roth IRA, your Roth IRA. And that's powerful. I'll take it a step further with you, Ann. Annalee and I have talked about this. I have never seen anyone take money. I've never recommended it. I know it's happened, but I've never been a part of anyone pulling money out of their Roth IRA. Okay. Now, Roth IRAs haven't been around forever, and we're just beginning to see people die with Roth IRAs, and their beneficiaries have to take it out. But you, the original owner, having made the contributions, you never have to take an RMD.
Wow. So what you're saying is I need to take it from the traditional first then.
Now, let's back up a little bit. Are you still working?
I am still working, and I am transferring money annually from the traditional to the Roth.
Okay, good. So really, you don't need to take money out of your traditional IRA right now to live. You're doing it just to take advantage of the tax-free status of the Roth IRA,
exactly.
Correct?
And it's very possible by the time I retire that I'll have it all transferred.
That is a great plan. So you're doing annual Roth conversions. Good for you.
Yes.
That is terrific.
But I was just curious if there was a strategy, should I hit that retirement age and still have those accounts.
When you reach the age of 72, I can say that in all likelihood, and I'm very confident in this answer, you need to take your required minimum distribution from your IRA. If you require any more money in addition to that, I would take it out of my traditional, whatever additional amounts that you need. I would let the Roth IRA grow, because remember, the traditional IRA grows tax deferred. Your Roth IRA grows tax exempt.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks, Ann. Have a great day.
Thank you for that. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. We have more calls and texts coming in, so don't go anywhere, Bob, okay? You are in the hot seat. Is it in the hot seat or on the hot seat? That's a huge debate. But
I think on. I'm not in it. Gosh. Okay. Gosh,
okay.
Jenna.
Listen, threw you off there.
All
David.
Right, I see David.
David from Pensacola is on the phone. What's your question for Bob, David?
Well, first of all, I'm enjoying the show, and I just got a few questions, actually, if I have time to get them in. It has to do with Florida employee deferred comp, which I believe is called a 457B.
Yes, sir.
And like your previous caller, Roth IRA. So after I quit working, I can convert all or part of that 457B into a Roth IRA, correct?
You can. You're going to have to roll it over to an IRA.
Right.
Okay. And then you can do your conversions.
Okay. So if I took it straight from the, or I cannot take it straight from the 457B to the Roth and pay the taxes on it?
Your 457B, and I'm just asking the question, is straight traditional balance, no Roth balance, right?
Right. It's my Roth is completely personal. It's not a plan of any employer or anything. It's just something I did on the side because my employer doesn't offer the Roth.
Okay. What you will want to do is if you're able to roll over that 457B into a traditional IRA, you want to, and again, I underscore this, you want to meet with your tax advisor, your investment advisor, and you need to annually choose an amount that is appropriate for you to convert to your Roth IRA. I doubt you want to take the whole thing and do it.
No. I understand exactly what you're saying. You want to wait to the end of the year, see how much income you have, taxable income you have, and you want to contribute to the Roth until it just almost pushes you up into the next tax bracket.
Yeah.
Or maybe if you've really got a lot of money, you might want to go up two tax brackets. But you want to really coordinate how much you roll over so it doesn't push you into a real high tax bracket.
That's
and
exactly
I don't make
right.
a whole lot of money, so I'll probably be doing it, a little bit at a time. But now, once you're not employed, you're totally retired, you don't have any earned income anymore.
Right.
You can still contribute to your Roth every year if you want to, as long as it's a Roth that's already existing, right?
Okay. Are you
rollover, not contribute? Roll money over into it.
And we often do this. I do this myself. I will sometimes label something a contribution when what I really mean is conversion. Okay, so you're not going to be making any contributions with when you're in retirement.
No longer.
Yeah, when you're in retirement, you're not going to be making any contributions. I mean, it's doubtful that you will. But you will be, continuing with the conversions, and those are two completely different things.
Right. But you can convert even after you've reached age 70. There's no age that they say, we're not going to let you convert anymore into your Roth. You're stuck wherever you're at now. You can keep doing it as long as you still have money to convert even in your older age. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I think there's probably a point in time where you just really slow down on that, because either you've converted all you want, or you're in you're getting close to meeting the Grim Reaper, right? But I think
at one point in time it's not going to make financial strategic good sense to convert,
right?
Because you're just paying extra taxes on money that you might not ever see.
Right on.
I'm
David.
Hey, right, one last.
Hey,
one
David.
Last quick question.
Let me ask you a question real quick. How old are you again?
I'm 55.
55. And when do you plan on retiring?
I'm hoping 62.
Okay.
It's still just kind of to be determined. But right now, I think I can do it at 62, no problem.
Okay. Okay. And this is one of the exercises we go through with our clients. Sometimes there is this time between when we retire and you're shooting for 62 and when you turn on your Social Security benefits, which I'm hoping, you know, you're going to wait, defer that because you get an 8% raise every year that you wait.
Yeah. So I'm leaning towards waiting, but let me ask you a quick question about Social Security.
Yes, sir.
You know, you were talking earlier about opportunity costs. If I were to take Social Security at the earliest age that I could take it and take that money and put it in an interest-bearing account and not touch it every month that I get it, and then when I got to the next age where I could have gotten more,
yep.
You see what I'm saying? Money and how much interest it's earned, it's take me about 12 years before I burn through that to make, you know, or I don't think it's 12 years, but it take me a few years before it make it worth my while. You know what I'm saying?
I knew
and all that stuff.
I knew you were going to ask that when you started, whenever anybody says, what if I take it at 62 and, okay, I know they're going to say, you know, and I invest this and I make,
and
you know, 8%
a
year.
So you don't think that ever worked out.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the unknown. And think about this. What is your risk tolerance going to be like at age 62 when you turn that on?
Yeah,
are you really
going
to be able to command 8%?
Yeah.
You know? I think it's...
8% is very attractive.
Hey, David, one other thing. Are you married?
Yeah.
Yes?
Nope, single.
Oh, you're single. Okay. So nobody else is depending on your Social Security.
Don't have to worry about anybody else.
Right on. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I say... Well, you got you, and you're an important one. But, okay, and that is important because, you know what, David, you die, and those Social Security benefits are turned off, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of people, okay, so the first thing, the only way to consider, even begin to consider taking it at 62 is, are you single? If you are, okay, that's fine. And then the other two are, these are my own personal ones, okay? Are you terminally ill? And the answer is no. I don't think you're terminally ill, and you're not going to be at age 62.
I'm pretty healthy.
And then the last question is, do I absolutely have to have this money? And the answer to that's probably no as well. I think you're going to be better off waiting, but you know what? If you end up dying at 65, you know, I was wrong. You know?
You never know.
That's right.
You don't know what the future holds. You do the best you can with the information you got. All right, listen, looks like y'all are getting to the time that you got to go, but I sure enjoyed you answering my questions, and keep up the good work.
Okay. Thanks. All right. Thanks, David. Have a great day.
David, thank you so much for listening. What a guy. That was
great.
You did great, Bob.
Yeah. Well, hold on. So we've got, 2 minutes?
We have about a minute and 20 seconds.
Okay.
Go.
So the other ages, and maybe we'll pick up on this.
Yes.
Next show and do this more thoroughly. But the other ages are age 62. 62, earliest age you can take Social Security. 65, Medicare. Okay. Age 66 or 67 or any age in between, that is full retirement age, FRA. We talk about that a lot. We just talked about it with David, right? Age 70 is the latest you can turn on your Social Security benefits, and 72 is required minimum distribution age as of 2020 in the SECURE Act. Okay, we got the rest done. We'll cover them more thoroughly next week.
Love that. And again, you know, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for calling. Thank you for spending time with Bob Burgi and myself, Jenna Barr. And again, if you do need to reach out to Mainstay Financial, what's the number?
The number is 850-437-3127. Give us a call. Hillary will set an appointment for us, or we can even talk on the phone.
Right. Especially, you know, you never know if somebody is just a little bit too, they don't want to share their stuff online or on air, you know?
Right.
So we have about 20 seconds left. Do you have any other little golden nuggets for us, Bob?
Well, you know, these milestone ages are very important, especially when we start getting in our 50s. Pay attention to them. They come and they go. Everybody have a great day, a great week, and we'll check in with you next Tuesday at the same time.
To myself, what a wonderful world.
news, talk, traffic, and weather. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.